Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. You might be able to hear it, and that's part of why I wanted to record right now. It's raining off and on, and it's kind of hard at times, and so there's really kind of nothing like the sound of rain on an airstream. It's different than a metal roof house because, you know, it's sloped, but it's really pronounced. And last week we got to hear what hail sounded like on the airstream, and that was trippy. To be woken up at like 4 o'clock in the morning from a dead sleep, just, it sounded like apples, you know, that size of hail hitting the top of the airstream. But, you know, it turned out to be quarter size, but it was loud, but no damage, which is good. But I just wanted to share with you, this morning is such a good morning. I love the rain because there's an old Saturday Night Live skit. Do you remember Stuart Smalley, that skit where they would say stuff? It's like, it was just Deep Thoughts is what it was. That's what it was. Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. Yeah, I got it wrong. Stuart Smalley was the guy that would look in the mirror and be like, you're good enough and strong enough and smart enough and doggone it, I like you. Something like that. But Jack Handy is my kind of humor because it's really twisted. And I don't know, I've always had a dark sense of humor, which is why, you know, I think my book is going to be called Putting the Fun in Dysfunction, or, you know, I Shit You Not, or something, because I've always been able to find the dark humor truth and twist to everything. But every time it rains hard, I think about this one Jack Handy thing, and it was, what was it? Every time it rains, I like to think of it as God crying because of something you did. That's twisted, but it makes me laugh every single time. So in a big rainstorm, I'm like, well, there we go. God's crying. Folks must be up to something. But look him up. Like, look up all the Jack Handy quotes. They're almost like Stephen Wright, and his humor kills me. It's, you know, everywhere is within walking distance if you have the time. You know, just really short and sweet and real succinct, just kind of snarky, interesting looks at stuff. That's kind of the way my brain works. Like David Sedaris and Augustine Burroughs, the way they write about their family trauma and dysfunction and the love that they still have for their people, that always really appealed to me. Like, you know, knowing that you can have, like, what is it? There's that comment, you know, I have a dark soul with a really light spirit. That, you know, that's kind of me. I got some dark, deep, weird humor in me, but super light and joyful. So I always figure that's how God made me. And so when I have really weird thoughts that are hysterical to me, you know, there's been times I'm like, ooh boy, I hope I don't get struck by lightning for thinking that. But, you know, I am a product of God, so He made the sense of humor too, so I'm rolling with it. But today's a really good morning. I had a great day yesterday and worked in the yard and enjoyed cleaning up some stuff and got to, it feels like almost like pre-COVID because, you know, a bunch of my friends are getting vaccinated, so it's getting easier to hang out with people without that anxiety underneath it. And I was actually able to ride in a car yesterday with a friend who's been vaccinated, and we still wore our masks and had windows down and stuff, but we went to breakfast like people do, and we went to a thrift store to grab a couple of things, and, you know, then ran a few errands together. I mean, it's weird, but that just makes me feel so much better. And then last night I got to go to dinner with a bunch of my Susie Batiz Alive classmates, the ones that live here in Austin. And so we went to this really neat place that's not far, it's right around the corner from my airstream. It's I always forget the name. It's called Casa de Luz, and it's a holistic place, and they have really awesome vegetarian meals, and it's just a beautiful kind of sanctuary outside to sit. And I don't know, eight or ten of us got together outside in this really beautiful space, and the night was just perfect. Like, it was, I don't know, 60 degrees maybe, so just, you know, slightly chilly for a Texas evening, and just beautiful. So I actually felt like a real human being yesterday and got social interaction and got to hang out with people that, you know, have depth and are doing transformational stuff and speak my same language and were supportive. And one of my girlfriends came over early to walk over with me, and she's awesome. Her name is Beverly, and she does feng shui, and she's really good, y'all. I refer a lot of my clients to her because she's got a depth of knowledge of spaces. Like I energy clear and can make your space alive, but she can do it remotely and explain to you from the feng shui Chinese understanding of how it all works. And she's kind of a master, but she came over early and is trying to help me with some funky energy from the neighbor right next to me, who has just been like energetically attacking me off and on for the last year. And it's crazy. The night before last, he came over in a rage because I had been working on my planters that were on our dividing line, and he came banging on my door so hard that like stuff fell off my shelves, and he was irate and, you know, accusing me of stealing from him and all this just crazy stuff. And it's funny. I'm like, okay, how did I draw that to me? Like, how did we turn the tap back up on this? Because I've been real conscious of trying to remove my energy from him and, you know, withdraw and get smaller over here and just, you know, not feed into, you know, any of his craziness. But I've been stewing on him a little bit the last couple of weeks from some stuff he's been doing. And, you know, my stewing is feeding energy to it. And obviously the fire got fueled and he lost his mind. But, you know I've never stolen anything, and I do not lie, and you know I'm super careful, so I know the truth, I know my intention, and I know, bless his heart, he's got some traumas. And it's interesting, this can be an empath and an energy healer thing too, and some of you may be doing this and not even realizing it. And Panache talks about it a lot, which helps me, because I didn't realize this so much until, you know, the last 6 or 8 months or so. Energy healers and empaths that are really strong in their energy and their gifts, we trigger people. We stand here like a mirror and trigger people's stuff to come up to be released and healed. Well, you know, if you're not wanting to heal it, it just comes up and comes up and comes up and comes up and festers, and you know, you get a little crazy, or they get a little crazy around us. And it's what I used to do with my parents, is I just trigger the hell out of them. But I've learned to stop doing that. But for some reason, the guy next door to me just is trigger fest. And, you know, it's really interesting. I put up all these screens and things. That's why I loved all my palm trees and stuff, because it was, you know, it was this lovely green, energetic, like, lushness. And I'm definitely a nature sprite. I've got some nature fairy stuff in me. So the green was kind of protective for me, but it was a physical barrier. It was a beautiful live thing that kind of kept his energy over on his RV spot, kept mine on mine. But all that died, and my jasmine too, all the barriers I had between us. So I put up a screen, you know, and that's tentative. But here's the thing. Here's one of the bigger lessons in it for me, which I hadn't factored in. I'm not using my energetic magic and my understanding of how energy works to, one, alchemize what's coming my direction, and two, to put up barriers energetically and, you know, do some magic that I know to do to, you know, create a real boundary between us. So Beverly was really helpful in giving me some neat tips on, you know, from her perspective. And it's so cool. Like, we've all got different ways of doing what we do and working with energy. Like, mine is real touchy-feely and warm, and like I can feel heat in people's body. I can feel joy rising up. Like, I've got a real kind of puppies and kitties warm fuzzy way of working with energy, which is, you know, why people, I think, feel so good when they're working with me, and when they leave they always kind of feel like a hug, which is so funny because, oh my god, I miss hugs. And yes, I have been that person that has stood on corners with my arms out and just given free hugs to people. So someday it will be safe to do that again. But Beverly's got this really interesting, you know, Chinese version of how energy works. And like my friend Diana Bertoldo, that I've told you about in past episodes, she's got this amazing quantum field way of looking at, I don't even know how to describe what she does, but she does energy activations, and she can manipulate, you know, sacred geometry and do stuff in a way that is just, you know, doesn't make sense to me at all, but affects me profoundly, you know, really. So it's so neat to me to see all the different amazing ways that people, you know, can use their gifts. So Beverly helped me a ton. So I got some really good sleep last night after a full day of feeling social and connected and, you know, energized. And there was the cutest little 2-year-old girl that came to our dinner last night. So I even got some kid love, and we played, you know, we played peekaboo. And there's nothing like a pure soul of a kid when they connect with you. And when they really look at you and give you that look of delight, like, I see you, like, you know, they're seeing your soul and your spirit. And I used to, when I was feeling so bad with all my Lyme and my mold, and, you know, it was just in that dark, dark place, I would run errands. You know, I would go to Target or wherever you had to go. And I would always try to, you know, get in a checkout line around kids, because they could always feel me, and they would, I'm like a heat-seeking missile, they would seek me out, and they would sparkle at me. And it did something to me. It really relit, you know, a little bit of a flame that was kind of dying. Like, they just blew a cool breeze of joy and recognition, and, you know, and just fairy dust at me just by smiling. And some of them would connect with me, and some would reach out, and I'd have some kids, they would like reach out and try to grab for me and, you know, want to touch me. And a couple of them were like, Mommy, look, I made it, you know. And I'm like two baskets behind them, you know. I'm not like right up with them. And I don't, if I was close, I would always ask the parents, you know, do you mind if I flirt with your kids? And, you know, but they would reach out for me. And one time this kid was a couple of carts ahead of me, and she turned around, and we were just playing peekaboo and, you know, just having fun, just connecting on a soul level with each other. And as she started to pull away, she started crying, and she was reaching out to me, and she was hitting her mom going, no, we have to bring my friend, and, you know, reaching back to me. And the mom actually doubled back, and we had a talk for like 20 minutes, and, you know, she let me hold her, and it was really sweet and so healing for both of us. So, you know, you pay attention to the things that light you up like that, and the little places that you get joy. Because, oh, this was cool too. I think this was in Target another time. I was looking at light bulbs or something, and there was a dad with, I don't know, a kid that was maybe 10 in the cart. And you could tell there was something going on with the boy. You know, he was challenged in some way, developmentally challenged. But as the guy started pushing past me, the little boy reached out and wrapped his arms around me. It just held, so, you know, like the dad's cart just went honk because he stopped. And he said, you know, no, I don't remember the boy's name, but he goes, no, we don't touch people. We don't grab people. And I just looked at the dad and I said, I am absolutely fine. You let him hold on. It's cool. Obviously he needs a hug. And the dad, you know, gave me a nod like it was okay. And so I put my arms around him and I just held him. I just held him for a couple of minutes. And his dad, while we were doing it, whispered over to me, he goes, he is autistic and doesn't touch. He doesn't touch people. He will reach out once in a while and like grab at them and smack at people. But he doesn't like to be held and he doesn't like to touch. And the dad was crying and I was crying and the little boy was smiling and he was just holding on. And it did my heart and my spirit, I mean, such a number. It was so beautiful. And it's, you know, I just held him until he let go. And then he just smiled at me. And the dad smiled at me and they just kept going. And those are the kind of things that I miss being in isolation this last year. Because another time there was this really big, just beautiful African-American lady was walking on the sidewalk into CVS, and she felt so heavy energetically, and I could feel all this sadness and pain coming off of her. As, you know, closer she got to me, I could just feel more and more of it. And, you know, she got close, and I kind of smiled at her with that, hey, are you okay, kind of smile. And she looked at me, and I said, sweetheart, this is going to sound weird, but you need a hug. You know, this was 4 or 5 years ago in Dallas. And she looked at me and she goes, I do. And I just put my arms out, you know, cause that's just an invitation. You don't have to take it, but I put my arms out and she walked into me and I wrapped her up in the tightest bear hug I've got. And we stood on that sidewalk for probably 5 minutes while I held her and I kind of rocked her a little bit. And she put her head on my shoulder and she cried a little. And I just told her, like, I got some downloads for her I said, honey, you are so loved. I don't think you know that there's a lot of love out there for you. You're just not feeling it right now, but it is flowing through me and it is yours. Like, this is for you. So whatever this is that you're going through, because I wasn't as clear, you know, 5 or 6 years ago on what was happening. So I wasn't getting a real reading as to what it was, but I was getting the emotions and the feeling. But I was like, whatever this is that's happening for you, it will pass. So please trust and know that you are divinely held, because that's what they wanted me to do for you. And she just held on to me until she felt better. And then she kind of pulled away and she put her hands, you know, she cupped my face in her hands and she just said, bless you. And I said, well, bless you too. And I just looked at her and I said, in case no one has told you this lately, you are so loved. I love you, sweetheart. And she said, thank you. And went into CVS. So those things are what makes my soul light up, and that's part of what happens in my readings too, is I can connect with people that profoundly and that deeply and on that much of a soul level really quickly. I don't know why, but I'm so, so eternally grateful that I can. But I miss just the little things like that, being out in the world and just, you know, getting to feel into somebody in an impromptu way and just give them a healing, give them the love, tap them back into, you know, what needs, you know, what their body and spirit need to fill back up. So I cannot wait until we can get back out in the world and I can do random love-ins like that. Because, you know, I'm just shy of being one of those people that would, like, register to be a professional snuggler with somebody. That's a little weird to me, but super cool. I love that people do that. I'm not sure I could be a snuggler for hire, but, you know, human touch and human interaction and that heart-to-heart, you know, soul thing, that's what everybody needs. And that is definitely part of what I offer in my readings and my sessions. So anyway, I just wanted to come on, share that with you. Kind of a quick episode this time, but it's a beautiful day. It's raining. The doggy's happy. I've got the best cup of coffee. I found some coffee. It's called Life Boost, and it doesn't have mold in it. The way it is, the beans are grown and raised and cultivated. It's intentionally for people that have Lyme and mold issues, and so it's really low alkalinity, and it doesn't have mold, because a lot of coffee has mold, y'all. Peanuts, too, just so you know. And oh my God, it's so good. And I don't have that weird coffee drop off when I'm done with it. And so I always put cinnamon grounds and coconut oil in it, because that keeps me from having weird stomach issues and a drop off on the caffeine boost. But I'm down to half calf. I can't give up coffee. It makes me too happy. But I'm having a good morning. Gonna go make some breakfast. I have one of the magical Diana Bertoldo energy activations today. And then if the rain lets up, I'm gonna go putter in the yard and plant some stuff and work on my mirroring energetic magical protective barrier. I've got this lovely mirror bubble over the Airstream and my spot now, thanks to Beverly's help. It's a mirror on the side to bounce the energy back at Cranky Pants next door, and it's kind of Teflon on my side, so whatever he shoots this way rolls off. And it's interesting, because the Airstream itself, even though it's got a protective coating on it because it's a newer Airstream, it's kind of a mirror finish. So I'm just assuming I'm letting it be a mirror itself, but yeah, I'm just kind of adjusting things to get out of his line of fire, because ain't nobody got time for that kind of negativity and dark energy. I sure don't. But I don't know how many portals I can open up in this poor little RV spot to dump his darkness into. I've been doing a lot of that too. So anyway, have a really, really good day. Whatever you're doing, be intentional with your joy. Be intentional with what lights you up and where you spend your time and what you focus on. Because yesterday I was really intentional with everything that I did, and it just was a magical day. So I hope the same for you, and I love you. And as always, thank you so much for listening. I'll see you guys next time. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @airstream_oracle, or you can email me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on and read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening.